Praise the Lord. Thank you, ladies. And that song is the Go Along with the Sermon song. Amen. I'll tell you, that's something how God does that. But I hope that's your song today. I honestly do. I hope you can say that. I hope you could sing that. Now, you might not hit all the notes like they did, but I hope that everybody here, that certainly was Job's. That's how it ended up with Job. You know, no matter what comes my way, I'm just going to praise you, God. I'm going to praise you. We've had a week like that. We've actually had, some folks have had several months like that, and that brings me to the message. I've had several people over the last couple months express these kinds of words, like, I'm not doing anything wrong. I don't know of any sin in my life that is, I'm trying to do right. I'm talking to God. I'm going to church. I'm reading my Bible. I'm trying to do things that I'm supposed to do. But it just seems like God's not there. And I want to talk to you about that because you will not be the first person or the last person to feel that way at times. And that's what Job said in verse 24 of our text, chapter 13. He said, "Wherefore hidest thou thy face and holdest me for thine enemy?" Well, we know God love Job. We know that God certainly didn't look at Job as the enemy. In fact, God's the one that said to Satan, "Consider my servant Job." God's the one that said, my servant Job, he loves me. My servant Job, he's going to do right. He's going to stand. He's my servant, and he loves me." And so we know that that wasn't true, but that's how Job felt. You ever feel that way? You ever kind of feel like God's just not even, he's not there? You talk to him and he's not there. You pray and he's not there. You come to church and it's like, but where's God? And that's what I want to talk to you about in the title, "Wherefore Hidest Thou Thy Face," from verse 24. Father, bless the preaching and help us, no matter what comes our way, help us to realize that you're our God and we trust you, and that you have a purpose in everything that you do. And a purpose in the ice storm last week, a purpose in the snow, a purpose in cancellations and problems and different things. Lord, help us to realize there's always, you have a reason for everything, and we need to trust you with it. Bless now, and help us, Lord, with the message today. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. "Wherefore hidest thou thy face?" We know the story here of Job. In fact, I've thought about doing Lessons from Job. That'd be a good book, wouldn't it? Maybe somebody's already done it. I don't know. But certainly this is one of those lessons that we can learn from Job. And we'll look at really the whole this whole story by the time we're done today. But the question he asks, I've asked him, "God, where are you? I don't understand. Where are you? I'm not doing wrong." Now the Bible says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." I know that when there's sin in my life, and regard means literally to keep it there, to not get it right, to hold on to it. In other words, I know there's something I need to get right. It'd be like a person walking out of here, you know, the invitation takes place, God speaks to your heart, you know there's a decision you need to make. And you say, "No, I'm not going to do it." It's like a person that robs from God. They didn't tithe. The offering plate came around, and you said, "Oh, I'm not going to tithe. I'm not going to give what belongs to God." You rob God. You're regarding iniquity in your heart. You're holding iniquity. You're holding sin in your heart. My Bible says God's not going to hear you. Certainly, we understand that. We understand that where there is unconfessed sin in our lives, God will hide his face. He's not going to hear. He's going to choose not to hear your prayer. God hid his face from Cain, the Bible talks about in the book of Genesis. And because, why? Because of Cain's sin. And when Adam and Eve sinned, God, they because of their sin, that caused a division and fellowship broken from God. And God said in Deuteronomy 31 and Deuteronomy 32, "I will hide my face from them." And again, it was because of sin in their own. We understand all of that. We understand that because there's sin. You're here today and there's something in your life that you're not willing to let go of, something in your life that is wrong. You know it's wrong, and you need to confess it, get it right with God. But then something comes up and you talk to God. Well, don't expect God to hear you until you get your sin right. That's very clear in the Scripture. But I'm talking about Job here today, who God is the one that said, "Consider my servant Job." He is an upright man. He's a righteous man. He does right. And yet Job himself says, God, where are you? I don't know where you are, God. Wherefore hidest thou thy face? I think about David. David said the same thing in Psalm 13. He said, how long wilt thou hide thy face from me? Psalm 44, verse 24, wherefore hidest thou thy face? Psalm 88, verse 14, why hidest thou thy face from me? And again, you know, these aren't people that are doing wicked things. These aren't people doing things that have caused a separation between them and God. God purposely is simply hiding his face. Now, we know the story of Job. Job is an upright man. He's a perfect and upright man. He does right. He's mature as a Christian. He reads his Bible. He prays. He goes to church. He tithes. He's a soul winner. I mean, Job is he's a good guy. He's a good Christian man. And one day Satan comes and he and God are talking and Satan says, however the conversation goes, eventually God says, well, I want you to consider my servant Job. And, by the way, what if that were your name? Consider my servant and your name was there. You know, honestly, what a great honor that would be to have God say, this is my servant right here and my servant's going to do right. Well, you know the story. Satan very quickly jumped on the opportunity, and pretty soon Job lost his family, he lost his finances, he lost his fields and his flocks and his friends, and Job's life is turned upside down. And he pleads with God. And in chapter 13, and we'll look at a couple other verses here, but he's pleading with God. Verse 23, how many are mine iniquities and sins? Make me to know my transgression. He said, I don't know what I've done, God. I don't understand what it is, God. What have I done? Because, again, Job's friends are coming and they're accusing him. And Job finally comes and goes, I haven't done anything. You know, seriously, a lot of times you say, but it seems like I've run into a brick wall here. It's like God is not there. He's not listening to me. He's not there for me. And understand this. Everything God does has a purpose. Amen. Everything. Amen. Everything that happens in our life. God is watching over everything. He knew about this ice storm. This time last week, you know, it was just the news. You know, a big storm coming. And, we had no idea what all was going to happen. And it was a pain for a lot of people. It really was. But God knew about all that. I don't understand why those things happen. I mean, we felt like we were supposed to have that week of school. Every teacher thought they had lesson plans all figured out, or they were supposed to. But they had lesson plans all figured out for that whole week of school. And figured they're going to need all that stuff, and the students are going to need all that. Of course, students never think they need any of it. But God knew about it. He had it all figured out. And boy, it started off last Sunday afternoon, and the snow's coming down heavy, and we got about 3 or 4 inches of snow, and then it starts raining on it. And a lot of folks have you had a nice little what are those things called? Like a toboggan sled in your sidewalks and everywhere, because the snow in the middle melted and started melting, and then the ice started forming, and I mean it was exciting. And that happened on your power lines and on your trees and everything else, and it became real, real. Except, but God knew about all that. He knew what was going to happen. He knew who was going to lose power, who what. He saw you shivering. Thank you. I've got it in my notes. He saw it. Yeah, he knew about it. Where are you, God? I don't understand. But I got news for you. God was right there. But you just maybe didn't notice it. But I'm not doing anything wrong. Why am I being punished? It's interesting. Job says in verse 20, and I love this, only do not two things unto me. He's talking to God. Then will I not hide myself from thee. It's like Job's, okay, there's two things, God. If you'll quit doing these two things, if you won't do these two things, I won't hide myself from you. As if he could. And he names the two things. Withdraw thine hand far from me. By the way, it wasn't God's hand. God just let the devil do what he wanted to do. Understand, God just allows things. The devil hates your guts. He'll do everything he can to destroy you. If God gives his permission and God allows it to happen, you look what the devil did to Job. The devil's doing all that. God just allowed it to happen. And the devil, I guarantee, he's got drool dripping from his mouth, ready to destroy everybody. Anybody. We want to blame God for things. Get mad at the devil sometime. Get mad at the devil for your problems and the heartaches and the difficulties and everything else. God obviously allows it, but I got news for you. It's the devil and his hatred for you that makes it happen. He says, withdraw thine hand far from me. Well, Job, it's not God's hand on you. It's the devil attacking you. And let not thy dread make me afraid. You know, Job had some things he had to learn. Verse 23, he asks, how many are mine iniquities and sins? Make me to know my transgression and my sin. Wherefore hidest thou thy face and holdest me for thine enemy? God, I'll quit hiding from you if you'll stop doing these things. But the truth of the matter is, Job's saying, I recognize, God, I don't know where you are. I don't know, God, why are you hiding your face from me? And I think in the book of Job, we can learn four things that might be why. Because we're talking about a guy who's not doing wrong. Now, I'm not saying Job, is sinless, because there aren't any. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I'm just saying, here's a guy that for all we can tell and all the Bible indicates, he's doing right. He's going to church. He's reading his Bible. He's praying. He's walking with God. He's tithing. He's doing things like he's supposed to. If he does wrong, he gets it right with God. I mean, he asks God, how many are my iniquities and sins? God, show me what they are. I want to get them right with you because I want out of this mess. Did you know sometimes you're in a mess and it's not because of sin? Sometimes it's just God has some things he wants us to see, some things he wants us to learn. And sometimes God does actually hide his face from us. Wherefore hidest thou thy face? Number one, I think as we can see with Job here, God wants us to love him. He wants us to really love him. Now watch this. Here's the thing. There's a lot of folks in this room that would say, I love God. And here's what you'd say. Because he saved me. Because he gave me my family. Because he gave me my job. Because he gave us food in our cabinets. Because he gave us electricity. We would come up with all these different things. Have you ever thought that maybe God might sort of hide a little bit because he wants you to love him? Because of who he is. Have you ever just stop and think about that? Again, we're talking about a closer relationship here. This isn't a shallow kind of a message. I even asked God, why am I preaching this morning? But I think we need it this morning. God wants us to love him. Chapter 1, verse 9, look at it. I mean, you are the person. You're the one, okay? And several of you have come to me. You've talked to me about this. This isn't just a message for you. I think there are many of us that need this message. But notice in chapter 1 and verse 9, then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Verse 10, hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands and his substance is increased in the land. I mean, here's what Satan's saying. He's saying, you have protected Job. You have blessed Job. By the way, isn't that wonderful that God does that for us? I mean, isn't that great? You have saved him. You have given him a church. You have given him a job. You've given him health. You've blessed his work. You've given him finances. All these things you've given to Job. That's why Job loves you. But touch what he has. And then let me have it. And let me do whatever I want to do. Wow. And he'll curse you to your face. Now, let's look at our own lives here, okay? And seriously, this is such a good challenge for every one of us. Why do you love God? Well, I'm an American. He let me be an American. And by the way, praise God for that. Well, I've got a good church. I've got a good family. I've got a good job. Boy, God has been good to me. Let me ask you a question though. What if it was all gone? Job says, God, where are you, God? God, I don't understand. I haven't done anything. God, where are you? As he sits in a pile of ashes, taking a pot shirt and scraping the sores and pus is running down his body because of the devil putting a disease on him. Are you listening? God says, Job, I want you to love me. I really want you to love me. Now, Job would have said, I love God. But the devil pointed something out that every one of us needs to understand and needs to be challenged with today. It challenged my heart. It really did. Do you love him because all he's done for you? Or do you love him because of who he is? Job says in verse 20, Job arose, rent his mantle, and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground. This is after he's lost everything. He fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. And some of you, you'd say the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away, and now I'm mad. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away, and I'm getting bitter over it. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away, and I'm upset at God about that. But here's what Job said. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord. That's after he said the Lord hath taken away. And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Isn't that something? We sometimes take for granted all the great things that we have, and most of our testimonies are about the great things that we have. Right? I just want to praise God because I have. I want to praise God because He did. I want to pray, there's nothing wrong with that, folks, but God wants to know, do you really love Him? What if you didn't have all those things? What if the hedge of protection was removed and the devil could just tear into you? Would you love him? God, where are you? God says, Job, I just want to know, do you really love me? Do you love me? Chapter 2, verse 9, his health is now gone. He has these boils, and they say it's a disease called elephantiasis. It's very similar to a walking cancer that it just literally eats the skin and pus and everything. It's just so nasty. And chapter 2 in verse 9, then said his wife was still alive, but in her heart she might as well have been dead, because his wife, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I've said this several times, you know, as my wife has been gone, so many times she is my comfort. She is a comforter. She is a cheerleader. She helps me. I cannot imagine if everything's gone wrong. Honestly, when all has gone wrong and we're at the bottom of the valley, I think she could cheer me up. Probably, I have no idea what I would do if she ever said to me in the bottom of the valley, curse God and die. I don't know what I'd do. But I'll tell you what, we'd sure find out if I really love God or not, wouldn't we? Yeah, I guess so. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? What are you saying, Job? I'm saying I love God. If my children are all going to be buried, if my land is gone and my homes and houses and property and all my flocks are gone and all my money's gone and my health now is gone, and even if my wife says to curse God, God, I want you to know I love you in spite of all that. I mean, honestly, verses 9 and 10, to me, as I think about it, wow, that's the toughest thing. His wife said, curse God and die. I like what he said. Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. I thank God my wife's not a foolish woman. That she is the encouragement and the help that I need. But what if that day ever came? Do I really love God? Do you really love God? You say, I'm doing right, preacher. I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying. I'm getting right with God. Every time I sin, I confess and I get right. But today, when I prayed, it just seemed like God wasn't there. And you know, maybe God wants you to forget about all the things you have and just look at Him and love Him. Amen. And just love Him. When Brenda and I first met, I bought her all kinds of things. I mean, I worked at a gas station, didn't have a lot of money, but it seemed like every dime I had, I spent on her. Our first Christmas, I bought, you know, this all and spent a lot of money. And you say, what were you doing? I was buying her love. What do you think? I was. I mean, I was young and thought that's the way you do it. And I did that for years. Just bought things. But now we will be married 35 years in October. Wait, is that right? 35 years. Is that right? 35, yeah. 35 years in October. And I got news for you. There's been a lot of times that things couldn't be bought. They just couldn't be bought. But the love is stronger than it ever was over those things because it's real love. Now, folks, listen to me. If the hedge of protection's removed, if there's trial after trial and problem after problem and those things are not there, let me ask you, do you love Him? Do you love Him? Because that might be why He's hiding His face. Because He wants to know, do you love Him? Number one, God wants us to love Him. Number two, God wants us to lean on Him. He wants us to lean on Him. And certainly with Job, that is so clear. Notice chapter 13 and verse 15. Chapter 13 and verse 15. And I love this. Though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. God, where are you? Why are you hiding your face? God, you're treating me like one of the enemy, and I don't understand. What have I done? I've not sinned against you. God, I'm going to church. I'm reading my Bible. I'm doing right. But I think Job's answer, I think that's one of the things God was looking for. And that is, I want you to trust me. Though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. Now, folks, honestly, it's so easy to trust God when there's money in the bank. It's so easy to trust God when the sun is shining. It's so easy to trust God when everything is going the way we want it to go. Sometimes, though, God hides His face and calamities start to take place all around us. And it's like, I'm praying and there's no answer and nothing's happening. And God simply wants you to lean on Him. I remind you, without faith, it's impossible to please Him, says Hebrews. You say, you sound like a broken record. You talk about this so much. We need it so much. Amen. Because we have it good in America. We have it so good. We think sometimes it's bad, but we have it good. Every one of us does. But when's the last time you really had to lean on God? I'm talking about lean on Him. We can become very cocky. Honestly, Sunday school teachers can, pastors can. Junior church leaders can. I mean, people that preach can. Singers can. Instrumentalists can. Did you hear that special I just played? God might let you fall flat on your face so you can realize how much you need Him. He wants us to lean on Him. One of the most humbling things in my life is a funeral. It's just a humbling thing. It always is, always has been. I spend hours on funerals. I mean that, hours. Folks on our staff know. They'll know. The little sign goes out, leave me alone, in other words. Because it is such a humbling, because you have a person's life that is years and years long, and you're gonna take about 20 minutes to sum up their life. It's a humbling thing. It's the hardest message that I preach. And I found myself, this last funeral, I found myself literally 2 hours talking to God and begging God, God, where are you? Why haven't you shown me some, God? I've got that. And I thought, he wants me to lean on him. When's the last time you asked the Lord to help you with your job? Preacher, I got that figured out. What a shame. Because when you first started it, you were terrified. And God wants you to lean on him. When's the last time you asked the Lord to help you sing? Remember the first time you sang? You were terrified. You trembled. You stood up here. I remember the ensemble down in college. And it was their first time. And they had them all come and sing before they went out on the tour. And there was a bass singer. If I thought hard enough, I'd get his name. But I probably shouldn't give his name anyway. But anyway, and literally, I mean, he was singing bass, and he was down here, and the whole time his leg was shaking. I mean, the whole time. And people were snickering, and I mean, folks were laughing about it and everything. And that guy, I mean, he hit every note. But his leg was, I mean, it shook. And I thought, I wonder how long he'll be on the tour group. But the truth of the matter is, that fellow learned how to depend on God and lean on God. Yeah. When's the last time you played an instrument and you begged God to help you to play it right? And now it's just, I got it figured out. I practiced enough. You can't practice enough to not need God. You can't preach enough to not need God. You can't teach enough to not need God. You can't run your bus route enough to not need God. You can't do anything for God to not need God. And so if you find God hiding from you, if you find your prayers seem to be kind of getting up there in the ceiling and then just settling back down, understand this. It's not because of sin. It's not because of wickedness. God just wants you to lean on him again. Sometimes I feel sorry for God because we're so good at first. We're so good at first when we become, called to preach in that first message. We spend hours begging God that we don't make a fool out of ourselves. We're so good at first when we walk out. And I remember walking into the old campus church on St. John Street down at Pensacola, and nobody was there, and I had a key because I changed all the light bulbs and everything. And I remember standing, Brother Chase, behind that pulpit, and I remember crying, looking out, thinking, God, how am I going to ever preach to people? And there wasn't a soul sitting in those seats. But I think God loved that. Don't become a professional Christian. Don't get used to holding that microphone, you sing, and everybody's so impressed with what you do. Don't be like that, folks. Don't have a little swagger when you sit down at the piano to play. Be terrified. Be scared. Lean on Jesus. That's what he wants. And I think sometimes, I really do, I think sometimes he hides so we realize how much we need to lean on him. When I was 12 years old, I got my first dirt bike. I think, if I remember correctly, it was a Honda 100. And I'd never ridden before, and I had no clue. Didn't know anything about a clutch. Didn't know anything about any of that kind of stuff. And so Dad was trying to teach me. And I remember the first couple times I rode, my dad got on back with me. And he showed me everything. And I'll never forget, he was excited and I was excited and everything. But I'll never forget, I went out to ride and Dad came and he started. And I said, Dad, I think I can handle this. And I remember the look on his face. It was sad. It was sorrow. Now, I didn't understand that till I became a dad. But I understand my Father in heaven. When I say to him, I can handle it. It's okay, God. I got this under control. I got it all taken care of. And then he might need to send an ice storm. And you pray and it's like, where are you, God? Yeah. It's for a preacher. It's the time you get up to preach and it's like you're all alone up there. For a singer, it's the time you get up to sing and you mess up so bad and everybody's snickering and laughing and you recognize that, boy, who in the world have I thought I am? It's kind of like the fellow that was, I think about Paul Walkden when I tell this. It's like the fellow that was sliding off a roof. And it was a two-story home, and he knows he's in trouble, and he's sliding. I mean, he's going down, and he can tell. And as he's going down, he says, "Help me, Lord! Save me, Lord, please!" And all of a sudden, his pants catch on a nail, and he's hanging there. "Never mind, Lord, I can make it myself." Yeah, that's how we are, isn't it? Two fellows were in a life raft out in the middle of the ocean. They were starving. A storm was coming. One of them looks at the other. He says, "You ever pray?" And the guy says, "Never." He said, "Well, I got news for you. You better start praying now. Dear Lord, I come to you now. I haven't prayed in 15 years. And if you get us out of this, I won't bother you for another 15. He wants you to bother him. Amen. He really does. Don't ever get the idea God's tired of hearing from you. He wants us to lean on him. He really does. Job says, "God, I don't get it. I haven't done anything wrong. Where are you, God? But no matter what, I'm going to trust you, God." And God says, "That's what I wanted to hear, Job. That's what I wanted to hear." When you sing, when you teach, when you soul win, when you preach, when you're happy, when you're sad, whatever, lean on him. Lean on him. Number three, not only does God want us to love him, not only does God want us to lean on him, but number three, God wants us to long for him. Job said in verse 22, "Then call thou and I will answer, or let me speak and answer thou me." Call, God, I'll answer. Speak, I'll reply. I've got to see you, God. They say absence makes the heart grow fonder. I don't know if there's ever a time God's presence is better than after it seems like he wasn't there. I know when Brenda and I were dating, we lived 45 miles apart, so we didn't see each other a lot. And there's something about you haven't seen each other for a while. There's something about that. She came home the other day from being with her mom and her mom's surgery, and it's like, wow, I am so glad to see you. You say, "I didn't like that in my marriage." That's a shame. That is really too bad, because it should be. But I think sometimes with God, he wants us to long for him. He wants us to appreciate him. Sometimes I think God hides from us when we get kind of used to him. Sometimes God hides his face because we just kind of become like robots with him. And our prayer life is like that. And we don't look forward to spending time with him. We don't look forward to church and hearing his word. We don't look forward to singing the songs. Come on, folks. I mean, honestly, the songs, the hymnals that we sing from and the songs, that ought to thrill your soul. But we get kind of used to it. I think sometimes there are folks here, honestly, that the reason it seems like your prayers aren't getting, it's not because you're a wicked, vile person. It's not because you're holding sin in your heart. God just wants you to long for him. He wants you to get on your face and say, "Oh, God, where are you? Oh, God, I've got to see you." A mother died, leaving the father and a little son. They had the funeral service, sat through the service. Their hearts were crushed. they got in their car and they followed the hearse to the cemetery, and they stayed after the pastor prayed and they heard the dirt thud on the casket. The father drove the little boy home, and they both recognized the empty seat in the car and the empty place at the table as they sat for supper. The father tucked the little boy into bed, and the boy said, "Daddy, I want to make sure you're there." Father left the room, and pretty soon he heard a little voice coming from the boy's bedroom. "Daddy, Daddy, are you there?" The daddy from his room said, "Yes, son, I'm here. Daddy, could I come and sleep with you?" Daddy said, "Of course." The little boy ran, he jumped in, he faced his dad, and soon his dad fell asleep, only to be awakened by, "Daddy, Daddy!" The dad said, "Yes, son." He said, "Is your face turned toward me?" "Yes, son." The boy said, "Well, would you hold my hand?" And he did. And the boy said this. He said, "It's easier when you face me and hold my hand." And I honestly, God wants you to want him to face you. The pastor says I'm supposed to abide in Christ. But you know what God wants? God wants you to say, "God, I want to abide in you. God, I want to face you. I want to hold your hand. I want you to be close to me. I want to know that you're there, God. I want to lean on you like John did. I want to be the disciple that you love. I want to long for you, God." The only reason we don't is it's just our Christianity has become kind of ho-hum. It might be why when you pray, God seems like he's hiding. Job said, "Wherefore hidest thou thy face?" I think God says, "I want you to love me. I want you to lean on me. I want you to long for me." And then the last thing, number four, I want you to learn of me. God wants us to learn of him. Go all the way to the end of Job, Job 42. And I close with this point. Job 42 and verse 5. Sometimes God lets things happen. Certainly we know that. And God even hides his face from us because God wants us to learn who he is. Verse 5, chapter 42, Job says this, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee." When does he say that? He says that toward the end of the trial. "God, I've heard about you, I've heard all these things, and I've heard what you can do, but," boy, he said, "you know, now," he said, "by the way, this is a good man. This is an upright man. This is a man that is doing right. This is a guy that went to church. This is a guy that carried his Bible. This is a guy that tithed. This is a guy that perhaps taught Sunday school. This might have been a deacon in a church. I'm just saying, this is a top Christian man." And here's what he concludes right here. This is the same guy. I said, "Where are you, God?" He says, "You know what?" He says, "I've heard of thee." That would be pretty much everybody here. "Well, we've heard these things, but..." He says this, he says, "But now mine eye seeth thee." I've learned some things, God, through this thing. I've learned some very important things. "Oh, by the way, God, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." See it there in verse 6? Isn't this the same guy that says, "Show me my transgression, show me my sin, show me..." There wasn't anything to show as far as anything he did, but he knew who he was. How did he know who he was? He saw God. That's how you and I know who we are too. We can feel pretty squeaky clean, can't we? Yeah, we go to church, we clean up nice, and we're looking good, and everybody's, wow, look at that guy. And then we get up and sing, and we preach, and we teach, and we go through all our motions, and everybody, you know, we go to work, and we're around a bunch of heathen, they cuss and swear, we don't. And they read wicked things, wicked books, and so we're reading our Bible, bless God. We pray before our meal, and everybody's impressed, and boy, you know, it just looks so good. But then, God hides for a while, and we go through some trial, and we go through some difficulty, and we wonder what's going on. And we've heard about all these things, but then we see. We see like Isaiah did, we see God high and lifted up. And then we see who we are. And we learn. We learn. In verse 10, it goes on in chapter 42, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job. When he prayed for his friends. And also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Boy, we learn some things from God, don't we? In verse 12 it says, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. I love that. Well, wait, what do you mean? Yeah, yeah. The latter end. He blessed him more than in the beginning. Well, yeah, but, I mean, Job's the same guy that said, where are you, God? Oh, yeah, the same guy. And Job learned a valuable, valuable lesson. And he learned all about God. God has so many blessings for us. Man. God has so much for us. But some of it, you know, do you love God? Would you love Him if you had nothing? Would you love Him if you were homeless and you're out on the street? Would you love Him today? Would you lean on Him if all of a sudden you heard that you were going to lose it all? Would you lean on Him? Would you long for God? Do you long for God? No, I got everything going pretty good. Yeah. Then learn. Learn. Because that's what God wants you to learn of Him. Learn that when we trust Him, when we obey Him, He has blessings we can't even imagine. I promise you this. As Job is sitting in his home and Satan is coming to God and saying, you protect Job and you take care of Job and all you do is love on Job and if you take all that away or let me take it or whatever and let me smite him, he'll turn on you, God. And Job has no idea any of that's going on. But I promise you, if you came to Job, you said, Job, could you imagine it ever being better? Job would say, there's no way. I've got animals. I've got money. I've got a wonderful family. My wife loves me. We all go to church. We're involved. We love God together. Everything's good. I can't imagine it ever being better. And then you have the story. And it's twice as good. Wow, isn't that amazing? You sit here today and you say, that's me. I prayed this week and it just seemed like God wasn't there. I didn't understand what all was going on in my life. It was a month ago and this happened. I didn't understand what all was happening in my life. I asked God, where are you, God? I don't understand. Where are you? Where are you? God wants you to love Him. God wants you to lean on Him. God wants you to long for Him. God wants you to learn of Him. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed. No one's looking. Our eyes are closed. Today you say, preacher, I'm not even sure I'm saved. If I were to die right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Never trusted Christ as my Savior. If that's true of you and you'd say, preacher, I'm not sure. I'm not sure I'm saved. Please pray for me. Raise your hand. I want to pray for you. You're not sure you're saved. Anyone? Pray for me. How many Christians would say, I'm saved, I've trusted Christ as my Savior, I know I'm going to heaven, but God has spoken to my heart today about something, please pray for me. Raise your hand all over. Just slip it up, pray for me. Pray for me as a Christian. Father, thank you so much for those times in my life when it just seemed like you weren't there. Now, Lord, I want you always, and I know you're there, you said you'd never leave us or forsake us. But I do thank you, and I want to love you no matter what the checkbook says, no matter what the doctor says. I want to love you like you deserve to be loved. I want to lean on you, God. I want to long for you, not dread church and singing, but I want to long for the things of God, the house of God, and mostly for you, God. And I do pray you'll help us all to learn. Learn about you. Everything you do is good. Bless now, please, the invitation. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. The instruments play, Trusting Jesus. Trust Him today. God, speak into your heart. You have a decision to make. Do not hesitate. Come right now. Kneel at an old-fashioned altar and pray. Make that decision that God's laid on your heart. Come on, right now. Right now, folks are coming. You need to come. Trusting Jesus. Whatever befall, trusting Jesus. Come on. Come on. God's speaking to your heart. Many are coming. Many are coming. That's right. Come on. God's speaking to your heart today. You say, I just don't see Him. I don't know where He is. Love Him today. No matter what. Lean on Him. Trust Him. Long for Him. To see His face. To know He's there. Long for that again. Learn. Learn whatever it is He wants you to learn. God's speaking to your heart. Come on. Others need to come. The invitation's still open if you have something you'd like to pray about today. Any others need to come? Wherefore hidest thou thy face? We've all been there. I don't know of any sin. I don't know of anything in my life that's wrong. I can't think of anything right now. God says, I just want you to love me. I want you to lean on me. I want you to long for me. I want you to learn of me. Robin Correa here, and many of you probably noticed her, missionaries, her family to Ireland, and she had to come home for her grandmother. Grandmother just recently, she had cancer, but they thought it was in remission. Is that right, Robin? They just had no idea at all, and anyway, Robin was able to come home and be with her before she went to heaven. And praise the Lord for that. But they are having a funeral service in Toledo, 10 o'clock Monday morning. Be in prayer for Robin and, of course, her family. They're all still in Ireland. But anyway, it's good to have Robin. And you'll be here till middle of March, is that right? Praise the Lord. All right, so be in prayer for Robin with her family here in the States, that everything goes well. And so pray about that. All right, Brother Doc, come and close in prayer.
Father, we do thank you that you desire a personal relationship with each of us. Lord, if there's still one here that does not know Christ personally and have established that relationship, Father, I ask your Holy Spirit would convict that heart and make that decision before they leave today. Father, may we, in our own walk, not have to go through what Job did, to draw close to you. Father, we pray that you would use this message this week in our own hearts and our own lives, and no matter what our trials may be, that we will trust in thee for every aspect of our own lives. Father, as we go from this room this morning, ask your blessings upon us, ask your safety, that we may return again at the next appointed hour, and we'll give you the praise for all, in Jesus' name.